Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Into the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Nick Schwartz with you. So, look, I think we're all optimistic about what Sky Moore can be for Kansas City. But there is one NFL writer that thinks he should be the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I got to step back a little bit here and realize what you're
like
actually.
A Chiefs writer. This isn't like over at, you know, Arrowhead Pride. This is
CBS Sports, Chris Trapasio.
Our guy
that charges $10 to come on any radio show in the country.
If we make a little bit more money into that show fund, we can start dipping in and getting Trapasio on the show to give these takes himself.
I just think if you step back, what would have to happen for Sky Moore to win Rookie of the Year is extremely difficult and not likely whatsoever.
Doesn't have to take an act of God? I mean, not just like he plays really well, happens to be the best receiver. It takes beyond that, doesn't it?
I think in this system, it would take some other guys getting hurt or otherwise. So look, he's 12-1 in the actual betting markets. 12-1 to be the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's where he's at. You know, the favorites, Kenny Pickett and Drake London and some other guys at the top at 5, 6, 7-1. But Sky Moore, look at last year. Now, Ja'Marr Chase was incredible. Ja'Marr Chase, 1,400 yards. Jaylen Waddle had a great rookie campaign. He was around 1,000 yards. Devontae Smith, really nice rookie season wide receiver for the Eagles, had 915 yards. For Sky Moore to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, it needs, number one, another year where a rookie quarterback doesn't have a good season, which is definitely possible because it looks like there's only one that's going to play, and that's Kenny Pickett.
He might not start week one.
Trubisky might play 6-plus games of the season, and so that's going to hurt the cause. So that part might actually come into play again. Okay, then he has to be the best wide receiver out of the group, and is he in the best spot in year one? I'm not saying long-term for his career, because I think for Sky Moore, if I'm Sky Moore, I could not be happier than where I was drafted. I get drafted to a team with Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback and Andy Reid as my head coach. It's a great spot for him. No question for his career. It's awesome. But is he in his rookie season going to get the targets as a rookie to be an 1,100-yard receiver in this offense? Because honestly, Cody, I think that's what it would take yardage-wise to win Rookie of the Year this year at the wide receiver spot.
So last year it took 1,400. I would say that that's the anomaly. I don't think we're going to have another 1,400-yard receiver this year. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, that's unicorn stuff. I mean, even still what he did. So, I mean, 11, 12. And the only way he's getting that is if he gets 120, 130 targets. And the only way he gets that is if Juju Smith-Schuster gets hurt. He is, at best, and I do mean at best, like it turns out he's a really good DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin type rookie wide receiver for Andy Reid, the third option in this offense right now. He is at worst the fifth, sixth, because there's an easy scenario.
Fifth, yeah.
It's not that hard to talk yourself down to between, like after Kelsey, Juju, MVS, and McCole Hardman. That is not a stretch. You don't have to do a lot of like arm twisting to convince yourself that that is a realistic scenario for Sky Moore this year. Matter of fact, I'd lock in 750 yards right now for his rookie season. Let alone 850. You would definitely take those.
Oh, yeah,
if you told me right now Sky Moore had 750 yards as a rookie wide receiver for Kansas City, I'd take it. That would be a really good rookie season. And especially considering he's not the guy who's going to get the majority of the targets based on the thing we just said. To say rookie of the year.
Yeah, I thought that
there's
was
just way too many guys who are going to get way more targets than that.
Here's how he listed them out again over at CBS Sports. So he says that Sky Moore should be the favorite. Again, he's not. At the number two, Treylon Burks, the wide receiver for Tennessee. But there's no A.J. Brown anymore. So you could actually.
So there's an argument
well,
there.
He's got, of course, the worst quarterback out of the two we're comparing here in offense and all that. But the opportunities with A.J. Brown being gone opens that up.
Same thing I would put above Drake London or Christian Watson. There's just less competition, right?
Yeah, Garrett Wilson with the Jets. I know it's the Jets, and you can question the quarterback situation. That one probably hurts you a little bit. But even Breece Hall, running back for the Jets. The last couple of years, here's who's won Offensive Rookie of the Year as well. Last year, it was a wide receiver, one of the rare times we've actually seen a wide receiver win it. And then it was quarterback, Herbert Murray. Then it was Barkley and Kamara, the two running backs. Then it went back to a quarterback. Then it was a running back. And then in 2014 was OBJ. Other than that, it's been running backs and wide receivers. And while the quarterback seems somewhat unlikely this year, depending on what you believe in, Kenny Pickett, even if you're telling me for sure, Cody, a wide receiver's winning it in back-to-back years, I actually can believe that, probably. But
I could also just easily.
I don't think 850 or 900 yards is, and which would be a great rookie season for Sky Moore. I don't think that's good enough to win Rookie of the Year. That's why I just completely disagree with the article that's put out there.
No, and that's the problem. Like you mentioned, of the four guys, Nick, I think you told us earlier, four guys who have won in the last 20 years, Offensive Rookie of the Year at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's Anquan Boldin.
03.
Just as a reminder, Anquan Boldin, his rookie season, had 1,377 yards and 8 touchdowns as a rookie.
So that was 03.
Yeah. Anquan Jamar Boldin. Chase, we know he had 1,400 yards and double-digit touchdowns.
Just a couple. Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He was great from the get-go. The outlier is Percy Harvin.
09.
Who wasn't just a receiver.
Odell Beckham Jr. had 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns his rookie year. And then, yeah, Percy Harvin, who's the only guy you can make the argument for of, here's the expected amount of production that would be reasonable for him. He finished with 790 receiving yards, but he also had 135 rushing and had almost 1,000 yards from scrimmage because of that, and was, as a reminder, one of the most dynamic return guys in the entire NFL that year.
And he had
two return touchdowns and 1,100 yards in kick return.
Well, and the
yardage.
Thing is, too, is like, that probably is not getting it done every year. Like, that was also a byproduct of not a great year, kind of like we saw last year. Like, Jamar Chase would have won it no matter what, I'm assuming.
Even if Percy Harvin had that year, 700 yards and two return touchdowns. Yeah.
Percy Harvin had that year last year, he's not even being discussed.
Yeah, and then like, I think with all these years, look at the quarterback play at the rookie quarterbacks in that particular season. Because I don't even know, was Byron Leftwich a rookie that year Percy Harvin won it? I don't know, Byron Leftwich was the youngest quarterback in the league that year with numbers, other than Kyle Buller.
Oh my God.
At 23, Byron Leftwich was 23 and had 2,800 yards and 14 touchdowns. So there was no quarterback competition for Rookie of the Year that year. And look, again, this year, there may not be either. That's Kenny Pickett is really the only guy that figures to factor in at all because he might actually get the playing
Desmond
time.
The competition Ritter. Was Michael or these
See,
are the guys
think,
who finished
I don't
near
think
it.
Desmond Ritter is going to play much his rookie season.
I mean, all he's got to do is beat out Marcus Mariota.
But the difference is like Kenny Pickett was still a first round pick. Desmond Ritter, rookie, third? I mean, was a third, late third round pick. And
you're Arthur Smith, year two, you're 0-4, 0-5.
You ready for the five guys who finished behind Percy Harvin in the only year in which a receiver won and he didn't?
I mean,
have
I feel like we're going down an
touchdowns.
Interesting rabbit hole here on Percy Harvin, but yes, I do want to hear the answer.
Like, look, there's three guys, right, okay. Beyond Percy Harvin. They were all 1,300 yards, roughly, and 8 to 10 touchdowns. So if you think Sky Moore's getting that, go ahead and vote for him. Otherwise, you have to get the Percy Harvin year in which the four finalists who got votes after him were Michael Orr, Jeremy Maclin at 773 yards, no Sean Moreno, and Mike Wallace. So, and most of those guys, the maximum yards from scrimmage out of any of those players
so
was 800.
No, the only, if we're just going to name random players now. The fact that I just
let's just go in a circle and just name random
the most
players
random
from
around 2009.
Well, around 2009.
I wasn't going to say 09. I was just going to say looking at the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Cadillac Williams was once an NFL Rookie of the Year. Cadillac
he had
Williams.
A great year.
Yeah, he did.
Nobody thought it was going to be Ronnie Brown out of that group. Come on.
But if we're talking about non-quarterbacks, if you're a wide receiver or a running back, like Saquon Barkley won it, Alvin Kamara won it. Cadillac Williams. Whatever.
Always been on running back. It makes sense.
Todd Gurley won it. Those guys are all immediately day one heavily, not just like, hey, they have a role, heavily involved. One of the top options in that offense. And I just struggle to see a scenario where Sky Moore is one of the top options in the Chiefs offense.
I think it's more like he's a 500 yard receiver than 1,300. Like it's just easier to see
it. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Much easier to predict. And that's why you wouldn't vote for him for Rookie of the Year. If Breece Hall just plays, he's going to be on the field. He's going to have 1,000 yards if he plays 17 games next year. You know, like, just out of habit, just out of force of habit. They tried to give it last year in a down year and a weird year in which there wasn't a quarterback. They still tried to 12 games into the year give it to Mac Jones. We had to push so that they would pay attention to other players.
And Cree got a couple votes like because of the push, I'm convinced.
Did Mac Jones get more votes than him? He got the second most, didn't he, somehow?
Yeah.
That's it. That's still offensive.
Quarterback.
I'm offended by that. But that's the point. That's why you don't vote on Sky Moore. And then especially when you consider, you know, where he'll rank in the Chiefs offense as far as how they play him.
Someone says, Michael Orr, wasn't that the guy from the Blind Side? Yes, yes. That is him.
Runner-up for Rookie of the Year in 2009, in case you're looking for useless sports facts from this show today. We shouldn't do that anymore. That's not our game.
Well, you started it.
I know.
And then you continued it.
And now I'm asking us to stop.
I love it when he does. I love it when you do this bit where you just, you'll do something and then you'll look at us and say, guys, let's quit this. Okay. We're ready.
Anytime
now.
Sometimes you go through the exercise and you're like, why did I do this to myself? Why did I look up 2009 Rookie of the Year? Because I got interested.
And you just like kept going too.
I know.
Top five. You guys want to know who finished behind him? Not really, but go ahead.
We're already here now.
Coming up tomorrow, we're going to go through the 2007 Defensive Rookie of the Year candidates, and we're going to lay out what their case was at the time.
Are we going to do that to compare it for George Karlaftis?
Yeah, we're going to go through year by year over the last 20 years, all the Defensive Rookie of the Year candidates who finished in the top five and what it's going to take to finish top five. That's going to be our summertime series. I know you guys can't wait. Can't wait for that.
Actually, I'm going to write 2007 that one
down. Please do.
2007 had been a tough year, though, for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Let's just be clear.
Oh, you already looked. Stop!
I just thought it'd be funny because it'd make you so mad. Patrick Willis won it.
You wonder how this show gets off track so quickly.
It is my fault sometimes, but not always. Sometimes it's other people's fault. We're all equally responsible. He didn't have to make the Defensive Rookie of the Year 2007 joke. We could have just moved on.
It was a joke. That's the thing about little jokes, little quips. You just laugh at it. You move on.
You don't have to pull the string forever.
Well, while we're there, Patrick Willis, hell of a linebacker. You know, he got into like Silicon Valley startups after his playing career.
That I didn't know.
You want to go down that rabbit hole?
Yeah, please. Now I need to Google
you
these now.
For no reason. He had a lot of money to invest. I'm not surprised he turned into VC funding.
He got it did really bad. Like the first one he got into, it turned out it was a giant scam. So
that's not great. I feel bad for Patrick Willis now. Great. So this is where we are. Now we're at the point of like, damn it. I'm sorry, Patrick Willis. I hope you made your money back in some other VCs. Even though that matters to our audience, exactly zero. So moving on to the Royals, where, you know, eventually
Cody's
we have to make
VC,
this transition.
Got to invest in some VCs.
That's the terminology.
I know, it's just hilarious coming from you. That's all. That's all it is. What do you want to talk about? The Royals and where their future is at?
Can we talk about
where their stock is at? Is there any stock rising? Are you buying? Are you selling?
Let's do a Wall Street segment on this show now. Stock rising, Brady Singer, because now we've had back-to-back outings in which he looks like a capable, beyond capable, probably more than major league starter for two consecutive. I am officially putting the deadline of when I will believe back in the Brady Singer stock at 1 month. If he can go a whole month, five starts, like for the next month, I mean a month in addition to this.
Oh, so not like two more starts.
No, okay. I want four more starts, five more starts, and I want to see him be able to establish what would essentially be a quarter of a season for him. Because that's seven starts. You get through that amount of time, and you're looking like Brady Singer is a guy who can attack hitters, get outs, work through it when you don't have it. Because there's some of that too. Because Daniel Lynch, he didn't pitch real well over the weekend, but that was a Daniel Lynch has absolutely nothing start. And he was not good, but serviceable, right? You're not blown out in a game. Like, I need every version of Brady Singer, and seven starts essentially gives me that sample size. And if he can do that, then we're having a conversation. Because actually, I went back through the numbers before he got sent down. Before he got sent to the pen and then sent down, he wasn't pitching terribly before then. It was like, okay. It wasn't awful. It was just okay. And now he's been dominant for two straight starts.
Yeah, he's looked great. And so I don't know if I need another full month on top of what we've seen. I'd probably say 2 to 3 more starts. I would like to see it. I don't think after two, you can just flat out say he's completely fixed and you have no more worries. But another 2 or 3 on top of this, which would put him at the 5-start mark this season. Yeah, I would be buying back in and say, man, it's amazing, though, also, if it really was going down to AAA and clearly getting some confidence with the changeup, and whether it was J.J. Piccolo flat out you know, saying, hey, you have to learn this pitch.
There's no choice.
You're gonna have to throw this. And if it was something like that, then I think it is fair to be like, why did it take so long to get to that point in time? I'm more about ultimately finding the solution and then moving on, not worrying too much about the past and how you got there. But there is a little bit of like, if he ends up being great the rest of this season, it is a little bit of like, what the hell? Like, why? How did you not get through to him to throw the changeup before?
Sometimes, and this is reality of most people's lives, I would say. Sometimes you have to have that moment. Yeah. The threat of losing a moment. Like, radio is one of those careers, it turns out, I think almost every single person in it has considered leaving it at some point. Like, every single person's had that moment where, like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Because it drives at you a little bit. And I think that for a lot of people, there's, like, a moment that convinces you to, you know, do the opposite end of this. Stay in it, fight with it, all those things. There's a lot of people for a lot of jobs and a lot of reasons that you're forced to be like, am I going to fight for this thing? Am I going to fight to keep trying to make this dream happen the way I want it to happen? And Singer is definitely that kind of personality type that, if given that, forced into that moment, he seems like that would be the key to thrive. You're right. Then why not throw the changeup sooner? But his back was never against the wall that much. He's the first rookie of all those guys called up. He was in the rotation the entire time. His back was never against the wall. He was in a game scrapping. And when he was in the game scrapping, he threw fastball, slide it, because he's like, okay, I gotta do anything to get outs here. So he went to the pitches he was comfortable with. Then his career was looking different. Like, there was a much bigger risk of somebody trying to turn him into a bullpen guy. Someone trying to make him go up and down. And he was like, nope, I want to be a starter in Major League Baseball. So this might have just been that moment. Now, you could have said, why didn't you just send him down sooner? But you didn't know that it was going to transform him. And we're only at the very beginnings of hoping that that's what's occurred here. But, I mean, it's as optimistic as I've been probably since he's been called up, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, you have to love what you're seeing the last two outings, and everybody can put their different time frame on where they truly buy in. Everybody's sure. Got a different answer, but for you, you said it's another month of starts. I think, yeah, two to three more for me to where if he's anywhere close to what he's looking like. I don't think either of us think he's going to keep, you know, pitching seven shutout innings or anything necessarily. But if he is just at least continuing to show, like, okay, he's, you know, he continues to be confident in that pitch and he's consistently giving you, you know, more than five innings, then I think you can start talking about some of those expectations again for him. So we're hopefully headed down that track. That's one of the very few positives right now at all around the Royals, of course, who have now lost four in a row, who just had an epic collapse yesterday, two Sundays in a row. I think at the StatCast at one point had the Twins with a 0.5% chance, something like that, to win heading into the eighth inning.
You do realize we have a very large sample size in baseball, and the odds of you winning that game or losing that game, if you're the Royals, losing it.
Well, when you have a 0.5% chance of...
It's less than that. It's even lower than the 0.5%. Statistically, it's even lower than that somehow. StatCast just gave you a 5% chance because you're the Royals, and you have the 28th ranked ERA in baseball. And this, I thought we were talking happy things for a minute, but then you...
we got to be realistic.
That game.
Got to be realistic. Like, yeah, I'm
it's
excited.
It's because, like, the rotation, it's like, it kind of, like, Lynch, Singer, Keller, and now, and Greinke, you're like, this is a decent MLB starting rotation. Okay. But then there's no hope. Like, but they scooped the hope out of your heart yesterday because they finally had a chance to get a win and blew it.
It's the balance of, like, yeah, Brady Singer is a long-term play for the organization. We know the short-term, we're at this point in time, you can kind of write off the short-term as in this season, and so it's long-term. And yes, Brady Singer, that's the positive development. But the frustration is, you know, this was supposed to be a year where the team was going to be competitive, or at least giving you reason to be really excited for 2023. And there's no reason to believe that 2023 is going to have a chance to be a fun season and a special season for this team based on the path they're headed, which I think is they're going to need to do something they weren't willing to do a year or two ago. And that is come trade deadline, trade multiple pieces away, even some that are tough, because you know that this thing has to be reset again, which is not anything anybody wants to actually recognize right now. But that's where they're headed.
Ugh, I can't believe we're back to selling. It's not even, like you said, it's not even Memorial Day. We're already back to selling, and there are sell candidates.
Does anybody think that there's reason that they can turn this thing around this year?
They've given no indicator this year that's plausible.
Yeah,
they've never played good for any stretch of time this year that indicates that.
No, and
they don't even have like a 6 or 7 game stretch where you're like, yeah, that's the one. That's the Royals team I like.
Right, and you have the same amount of wins as the Detroit Tigers, and you're only two more wins of the Cincinnati
Reds.
Although, in fairness,
the Detroit Tigers over-unders in Vegas before the season were very similar to the Royals. They were also supposed to be better. They've just also been terrible. It's not as big of a dig as it used to be. The Reds one is a massive dig because they were expected to be and are the worst team in baseball, but the Royals are not better enough.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say the reason why it's still a dig on the Tigers side of things is the Tigers were trying the Tigers were trying to go through a rebuild as well, and there were some signs last year that they might have been ahead of you, actually, all of a sudden.
Yeah,
so,
they started the rebuild 2 years later.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with that, is that you were supposed to be ahead of them in that regard.
And they're carrying a $35 million per year player on their roster and not struggling as much. Like, they're just carrying, like, you complain about carrying $10 million of Carlos Santana on the paychecks this year, of which you only owe him another $7.5 million, and they're out here eating Miguel Cabrera money, and like, you're the same. So it's a little bit different as far as the pay scale goes.
So it's just fix the Royals without trading people away. How much money would they have to spend to fix the problem? Well, we obviously know that's just not how you operate.
I don't.
Just go spend money to.
Do you ask me that legitimate question? I don't know. $100 million? I mean, yeah, it would take a lot.
Yeah. And we know that's
like
just
total
not,
or for 1 year? Because it'd be more than $100 million because you'd have to be out there.
Correct. And that's
buying
just
guys
that
like
we know
Correa.
Is not. That's not a sustainable. No. Not that's not sustainable in Kansas City. That's not going to happen.
Also, I don't know if like Kershaw was a free. He's hurt right now, so not a good example. But a pitcher of his caliber were available in the free agent market. Would you pay it? Like, or would you want them to? Like, you know, there's just a lot of problems. Would he come here? The whole other question. Let's say you were going to make Clayton Kershaw the highest paid.
Random question of the day.
Pitcher. How much money would it take to fix the Royals?
No. Would you just trade any amount of like hope,
any amount
just for
of
like
hope.
A year of Kershaw, like your team's gonna be no good, but you got Clayton Kershaw.
No, because what's the goal there? What's
been the goal the last 30 years?
No, but like you already just told me in this scenario
they can't win.
Why on earth would I make the trade?
Go out every 5 days, watch the best pitcher on the planet. That'd be kind of cool.
I got Greinke back. That's good enough.
But you don't. It's
he's
old,
a Hall of Famer.
Old Greinke though.
Well, it's old Kershaw.
Okay, then change the player.
Change the player.
Screwed up.
Okay, then what if...
Shohei. Then yes. I'll take 1 year of Shohei Ohtani every day.
And you just know you're not going to the playoffs.
Fine.
You'll be just as good as you are now. You know what I mean? As a team.
Fine.
But he is the best show on the planet.
Wins every 5 days, he's going to pitch.
Wins
every
MVP.
Day, he's going to hit. Yeah,
wins MVP. Yeah, that's a different... At least at that point, it's like, yeah, at least you got that going for you.
Okay, so... You gotta make the call, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You at least have to try. They'll probably say no, but you make the call.
Someone brings up a good point. The Kershaw thing. They're like, we had that in 2009. That still was.
we had that in 2009.
Yeah, but that was a.
And
that
it was
cool.
Fun.
It was fun.
I was like traveling to go watch Zach Greinke. It was a lot of fun.
It's better than all the other years.
Well, yeah, it's the alternative is.
It's more fun than this year.
Well, yeah,
which,
the alternative is be really bad and also not have any real fun reason to go to the ballpark, which. Maybe Bobby Wood Jr. can continue to pick it up, and maybe that's the answer. But no, that's the only difference. Otherwise, it's still the same result. A lot of losses. Before schools now, we're not even Memorial Day weekend, and school just got out, I think, and we're already talking about this.
My kids still have the rest of this week.
Oh, good. So
the
Royals,
Kansas side's out.
Okay, they can win 7 in a row then to get your hopes up.
You know, before the end of school for my kids is still the end of the week, so they can still go on a run. My kids still have hope. Any kids in Kansas don't.
They're playing the Diamondbacks tonight.
With a taxed bullpen. So that'll be interesting.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
Any more or less interesting than the previous games this season?
I mean.
It's not like Bumgarner's pitching or anything tonight. It's, I don't even know who. Some other guy. Davies or something. I don't know. It's not even Bumgarner pitching. So that's not.
So that would at least give you a little interest?
Mad Bum.
Mad Bum. It's not even him tonight.
People call him.
That's right. That's right, Nick. You stayed up late to listen to this one tonight?
Oh, yeah.
8:40, first pitch.
Start to finish.
I'll probably put it on because I'm a degenerate, but, you know, we don't have to put any money on it if that's what you're thinking.
Cody wants us to bet on everything now.
I mean, right now, how would we have done fading the Royals against the line? Can you give us that answer when we come back?
I can if you desire that. I will have that answer for you. We'll also to get to what's trending and a conclusion that Cody has reached on the Chiefs for this year.
This is Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. Check out Nick's Wave in the Wheat podcast with new episodes every Wednesday on the 435 Podcast Network and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, Royals in action tonight out in Arizona, taking on the Diamondbacks. It'll be Zach Greinke on the mound at 8:40 Central Time, first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio. The Royals 14-26. Cody, you asked before we went to break how the Royals have been doing. Well, against the spread or the run line, they are the third worst in baseball, 17-23. As far as over-unders, 20-19-1 in favor of overs.
So don't
bet
that. That's a really tough bet. They get you right down the middle. But you would have won some good money. That's about a what? 55% win rate? That'll win you money. People in Vegas would kill for 55% guaranteed. Locked in. There's plenty of people who make money doing that. So I guess just fade the Royals on the run line.
Diamondbacks, the best on the run line this year, 26-17.
Cool. That's totally going to work out for Kansas City tonight against the Diamondbacks. Next up on Watch Training, PGA Championship wrapped up yesterday. As this show knows, Justin Thomas, the winner, coming back from 7 strokes to start today, 8 strokes during play. Mito Pereira going into the water at 18, really the difference there as he double bogeys 18, ends up being a playoff hole between Thomas and Zalatoris. Thomas coming out the victor in there. Both of those guys had won major championships, which I think was Nick's entire point. And the guys he put in our bet thing, I'll give him a lot of credit for this. He's like, look, in the end, that guy's never won anything. Guys like Justin Thomas and Zalatoris have. They found a way to par out an 18. Pereira didn't. They had a chance to win, you know, the PGA Championship. Pereira didn't. Ended up winning this show $274, something like that.
Mito Pereira.
I don't like the notion that he choked. I mean, I know he did.
Oh, God, he choked. Are you kidding?
But, you know, it's just like,
it was quite the collapse.
To me, though, it's just like, it's an oversimplification of like.
Yeah, but that's how he described.
It's not Norman.
I know. I know.
What are we supposed to say? The moment just was too big for him at the end.
I know, but like.
He effing choked at the end.
Yeah, it was a daunting task that he was. I get it. But like, there's a reason. You're right, though. Like, Justin Thomas has been in that situation. You know how to calm your nerves. He was.
Look, I'm happy.
That guy was crapping his pants standing over that ball on the 18th tee.
It was just so
bizarre.
Palms
are sweaty. Knees are shaking.
Then he put the second one in the fairway and then hit an awful approach shot. Awful.
Next up on What's Trending, the Chiefs preseason schedule and times have all been officially announced. The Chiefs confirming that today. Saturday, August 13th, they'll be in Chicago taking on the Bears at noon, so a noon kickoff. Then on Saturday, August 20th, they're at home against the Commanders, 3 o'clock kickoff, so 2 afternoon preseason games, which actually is kind of nice. And then they'll wrap up on Thursday Night Football, Game 3 of preseason. So maybe the starters actually play a full half against the Green Bay Packers.
Feels
maybe
like
not.
Right
actually,
team.
Wait, that's right. We're one less pre-
they
never
do
mind.
Game
yeah.
two now.
Game two, yeah. Used to be game three was the good one. Now game two is the, well, I shouldn't even say good in preseason at the same time, but you know what I mean. Mahomes might play more than
a
series in game two. You're right. Game three, they just go ahead and throw in the towel for a Thursday night game too, which
yeah, kind of stinks. But by that time, we're close to the regular season, so who cares?
Yeah, that'll be on August 26th, the Thursday nighter.
Next up on What's Trending NBA last night, Warriors take a commanding 3-0 lead after Luka Doncic still cannot play defense. I don't know if you guys gotten Andrew Wiggins' most valuable player in the Western Conference bets in. He has played phenomenally. That looks like a team absolutely destined for obviously the finals now, but looks like they're the way they're shooting right now, they're really balanced. And then of course tonight you'll have Celtics Heat. Heat up 2-1 in that series right now. That one, no particular game has been very good. Both teams have kind of controlled both of their games. That one at least can go the other way. The Heat certainly look at the better team in the early going, but they'll get game four tonight, see if we're going to make a series in the Eastern side. Western Conference is already a blowout. Luka, honestly, credit to him for even getting the team that far. That's not a talented enough team under normal years to be in a Western Conference Finals, but because he can just throw up 40 points whenever the hell he wants at 23 years old,
yeah,
they'll
help
always have a chance. He'll win championships. Luka will win championships. It's just going to come in the next few years.
Well, like Bullock, for example, the Mavericks, no points. This guy played 30-something minutes and didn't score a single bucket for you. And he's a guy that normally does score. Like, you know, he'll get you 14, 15 points a game. Got nothing from him. He was terrible.
Are you – by the way, Wiggins' entire career has been – not the guy for the big moment at any level of basketball. They said it about him coming out of high school. They said it about him when he was playing at college. They said it about him early in the pros. This might be the greatest redemption story for Wiggins ever.
It's
made
been
an all-star game, and he's been a real player in the NBA playoffs.
No, it's been a great year. His first all-star game. Look, he's on a team also where role-wise, he's not asked to be that guy.
No, that's Steph.
You know, so
and
that
Clay.
So that helps. But no, it's cool to see him having the success that he has. He's been unbelievable this series. And last night, the dunk was on Luka was phenomenal.
Thank God they got the call right. At first, when they called it an offensive foul, I was offended.
Yeah, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Have you calmed down off of the idea that we need to roll our winnings into another bet from the PGA Championship?
We don't have to bet tonight, but I do think it'd be
interesting. Oh, that's
nice.
We're going to take a whole 24 hours off. That's nice. That's really nice.
I think we should do one of two things.
Okay.
Here's my current strategy.
Oh, boy.
Take some of this money, maybe bet a similar amount, $100, $150, and we either give Nick another crack in 3 weeks at the U.S. Open, let him build a betting card the same way we just let him build a card for the PGA, or we do what I suggested you the first time, which was we let you just bet for us as the show for a whole week with $150.
Yeah, but here's why I don't. So I like the golf idea again, not just because we just won, but the reason why I didn't want to do the other option is, because if I'm going to bet all week through my own account, I want to actually, like, for example, last week, if we would have done that.
You can't take 1 week off.
No, here's why. Like, last week, if I would have said, hey, everything I win goes to the show fund and not me, I would have been very upset because I hit a 7-leg parlay last week. And I would have been very upset if that all went and I didn't get any money personally. So that's why I don't want to do it through my account and my funding. If we want to do the separate bets, the golf is way better option for us. We'll wait till June 16th for the U.S. Open and in the Massachusetts area.
What if we make duplicate bets? Both bets for yourself and for us, but we trail you for the entire week. Does he not open to this idea? He's not just
you need to just go for a long walk after work. You need to get a clear head.
Look how quickly. 1 weekend of winning bets, and Cody's ready to go bet on everything. Right now it's time. If you want to tweet at Cody and you have a bet, an offer, he's going to bet you on anything, I think.
You're a fiend. Maybe. You are addicted.
Fiend?
Yes. You are foaming at the mouth for another opportunity to hit a big bet.
So I have big plans for this show. I want to accomplish big things.
And you want to...
And in order to accomplish those big things, we need twice as much money as we have now. How do you recommend we get that?
It's not a guarantee, though.
Can we make a Father's Day shirt? Can we make a...
Don't you understand?
Happy Daddy Day shirt?
Well, that's probably happening anyway, yeah. A Happy Daddy.
Should we do that?
Happy Daddy Day, probably the shirt is happening with Father's Day.
Should we make a Daddy Day shirt?
I think we just decided we would.
Yeah, I mean, Father's Day, Sunday, June 19th. It also happens to be the same weekend as the U.S. Open as well. So it could be a big weekend.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh.
Happy Daddy Day.
The ooh part.
Oh.
So we could do it. We could make... But that's not going to get us... That's not going to double our money. So, just looking for some opportunities.
Yeah, it's for a show project.
Don't you realize, Cody, that we could bet every event and win them all. It'll never be enough money for you.
It will.
No, it won't. No, it will not. We could double what we currently have, and you'll say, okay, well, then now we've got so much, we can afford to lose a little bit more. Actually, you know what? Let's increase our exposure. Let's go from 150 to 300.
Cody's showing some addictive tendencies here. Addicted to losing. He said he doesn't think he can lose at this point. That's scary. That's not good.
Ride a heater.
You need some time off is what you need. I think you need to go on a little vacation, clear your head. Go out to that cabin in Missouri you like so much.
It's in Colorado. No,
whatever. Where?
I'm going to go to the lake this weekend. Will that count?
Yeah, that's perfect. I think that is exactly what you need. You need some fresh
time on the
air.
Boat.
Fresh air.
Yeah. Take the weekend off. Yeah.
Whew. But you guys aren't saying no. You're not saying no to betting more.
No, I'm good for doing the next major, but that gives us 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
How much are we going to wager?
Well, we'll sit very soon.
Just chill. Can we just enjoy this for one day? Can we just enjoy what we've won before on to the next?
We put in 150 and we got what? 418 back?
Yeah, you keep saying it that way. We won.
We said it earlier, 270 in profit.
Yeah, we won 270. So like, we don't need to say we won. We got 400 and something back. We got $274
back.
What
we risked. That's
here's
all.
If you want to describe it that way, here's what you say.
Text line 1-800 bets off.
We put in 150. That 150 was gone, and they gave us 418 back.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I just said. I wasn't trying to imply that it was 418 in profit.
Sometimes you talk fast, and
I know.
You run
that's things. Almost exactly what I said.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I even mentioned the 150. You're making
how about
it seem
this?
Like
$273 in profit.
That's the simple way to do it.
We won 273.
Translation.
Thanks to Nick's bets.
Think about June 10th is 610 day, and we're going to have six pairs of Diamond Club tickets to give away. We're going to have six different Chiefs autographed items to give away. We're going to have different hosts, different producers. For that one day, can you just mention, can you just do the exact same thing you just did the last 5 minutes to whoever you're hosting with that day as well? And have a song that day.
And please. Have a song?
I'll tell you what.
Because for those who don't know, 610 day was a ton of fun last year. I hosted in the mornings with Carrington. So we're going to do a draft on June 7th. We're going to spin a wheel and find out who's hosting with who on June the 10th.
I'll just do happy 610 day, but to this.
Oh, gosh.
Happy Daddy Day.
Oh, gosh.
Happy 610 day works, just so
yes,
you know,
it does.
Based on the number of syllables.
So Nick could end up producing in the afternoons for a day. Cody could end up hosting in the mornings for a day with, let's say, CDOT. I could be with Kling. Who knows, right? We're going to spin a wheel on June 7th and find out what time slot and who we're hosting
I'm gonna make
and producing
a big board.
With. Your draft board. But you know, we're spinning a wheel. You don't really get a pick.
You can play the mock draft sounder for that day?
Yeah, I don't care. You know, if it's a draft, that means there are mock drafts, there are big boards. You know, maybe we'll call up Chris Tapasio and see if he'll put a big board for us. Pay him $10.
Out of the show fund.
Out of the show fund. And he can make a big board for us and come on and break it all down. Anybody you guys not want to be paired up with?
I mean, that was a CDOT last year. I think.
So you want to mix it
probably
up?
Probably mix it up
but
a little
I was
bit, you know?
Last year
that
was I thought
one
it went
time
smooth.
A year ago.
Yep. At 5:30, 6 a.m.
Was it the morning more the issue or Carrington?
It was probably more the morning than anything. I'm not a morning person. You guys know this. I don't like getting up early
so
in the morning.
So you'd be cool with doing afternoons with Carrington or middays with Carrington?
Yeah, I just don't. The morning, I'm not a morning person. I hate mornings.
So you'd be cool with doing morning or middays with Carrington?
Sure.
But does it excite you?
I think he wants a different host. You can tell.
Carrington's the one that comes in our show all the time and says he has no interest in doing anything.
It's true. Carrington has made it very clear he does not like Alex.
Yeah. Very, very clear.
There's a little rivalry there.
For sure. Yeah.
What about you, Cody?
Open to anybody.
Closed to anybody?
No, I think it'd be fine. The only person I've hosted with at this station out of the producers, I think I've worked with except for B-Dub. So, like, if it's you or Rob or B-Dub, seems fine. B-Dub seems nice. And then on the host front, I think, I mean, I haven't hosted with any of them. I've never hosted with Carrington or Bob. I've hosted with
you
Kling
and Bob. I feel like by the end of the show, you might choke each other.
Maybe. There's too much energy for that show. That might just be too
really?
Much for everybody.
Like, to see who's the better host. You think, because you think you're better than Bob?
No, I just think, like, that might be too much for everybody. Like, we both yell and
but do you think you're better than Bob?
No.
Oh, so he's definitely better than you.
Yes. Remember when I ranked myself amongst midday hosts in the entire country? I was like 70th.
Right, but he hosts mornings.
Yeah, he's in a more premium spot.
Uh-huh.
You know.
That's because he's better.
That's how this works. That's how I'm to understand it. I also think you're worse than Robin B-Dub based by the same metric. So it is what it is.
So you think I'm the worst producer at this station?
Yes, but you can grow.
Well, or maybe I'm just stuck here forever.
What the hell's that mean?
Schluffing it with you guys.
That got bleak.
Well, you just said I was the worst producer in the station.
Yes, but I've told you I think you're a top 30 producer in the world. So that should really count for something.
There's no way the math checks out. There is no way.
What?
That
I just can't happen to think that there's three of the top 30 producers in the entire world in this building?
Well, I know somebody I don't want to work with on
610. Yeah, clearly. Clearly, it's our time to actually get away from each other, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, good 16. For him.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Like, another reason I should go to the lake. We all need a break.
All the way around. There was something, though, that I think we recognize after a certain trade took place, but now that it's played out in the offseason, you think the Chiefs are doing what now in 2022?
They're obviously content with not getting better. They've given up on being better. If
what?
That makes sense.
It's not getting
What's
better?
What's funny is that it's not even, I don't even mean it as an insult. I get the play. The play the second Tyreek Hill was gone was, nope, got to look very long term now. Got to think 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the future. And got to just let this year be the, we have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, so we're probably better than you anyway year. They have not addressed corner, defensive line. They've added no one at any of the positions in which they've lost people that weren't just replacements for the guys that are already gone.
I'm saying they addressed corner, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, they in the draft they did, but they have to draft somebody. Like, to me, that's not. But Charvarius Ward left. It's a wash. Reed replaces Matthew. Wash. They didn't meaningfully take any chance at defensive line. They could have easily.
That's the area. That's really what it comes down to.
Let's not even talk like the big money they could have spent, but they could have easily just brought Ingram back in. They chose not to do that. They didn't spend big money at wide receiver, and they lost out on Tyreek Hill, and that was already done. I think it was the Tyreek Hill thing that did it. Honestly, it's the right play. Because just saying we have Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and majority of the team that returns will probably be better than you is not the worst strategy. And then we'll get to the playoffs, and we'll take the chance that we'll beat you because we're who we are and you who you are. But it's clear to me that the second that happened, they were thinking very long term because they're not spending any of their dollars this year and clearly pushing it to the future by not even moving Patrick Mahomes' money around, the same thing.
I definitely think when the Tyreek Hill trade happened, like a longer term view of where they're at, there's a chance that there could be a tougher road in 2022, but it actually sets them up much better in 23, 24, 25. I think that definitely was some of the thought process after the trade happened and some of the discussions we were having as well. Now, the idea that they just are okay with not getting better, or they're gonna, and all this, like that, of course, would be something. If you look at their draft, and if guys turn out, they would argue, of course, that no, we got better in the draft post that. Now, to your point about free agency, yeah, they didn't.
And they have the money to do it. That should be noted. They could have spent more money this offseason.
No question. Now, when free agency opened up with the way the market went for some of the edge rushers, I didn't want to overpay for Emmanuel Ogba. But when Melvin Ingram's available for $5 million. When Stephon Gilmore's available for $7 million, Clowney for 11, no, thank you. I mean, know where I'm at on Clowney for a while. So that one's not as that. Today's news that he's signed with the Browns really doesn't bug me that much. It's more the could have had Melvin Ingram, could have gone after Stephon Gilmore route. Now, with this said, what's the step back for the Chiefs? I think last week all three of us said that at minimum they're still a 10-win football team. So if you're winning 10 plus, you're in the playoffs, maybe winning a division with 11 or 12 wins. Once you get to the playoffs. With Patrick Mahomes, yeah, you do have as good of a chance as anybody at that point in time. But it's going to seemingly be a much tougher road to get there than what they've had. They're banking on the best quarterback in football, elevating everybody even more and playing at a high level. And that's what we're going to find out about here in 2022. I do think I'm not worried long term with where they're at as an organization. I'm not worried about.
No, I think it's that's smart play. It's prudent.
It is. I mean, look, a lot has to pan out still. We all agree the draft class looks really impressive for the Chiefs, but it looks impressive right now, and then a year from now, our view of it could be completely different. It makes sense. Every pick they made a lot of sense, but that we know they're not
that
all going to.
It always works out.
Yeah, we know they're not going to pan out. Like, I think McDuffie is going to be. If you're saying like who's the one you're most confident, it makes sense that McDuffie would be that. Not just because he was the first guy they drafted in the first round, But the cornerback position, how they've developed corners anyway, there's really good reason to believe Trent McDuffie's going to be a really solid player for this team for a while.
Well, and you just start getting that organizational belief of the things that you think they're good at and the things you think they're not good at. So, like, yeah, I think at this point they could have not even drafted a first-round corner, and I would have convinced myself that they were, you know, good. You know, like, ah, they'll be all right, right? They're not going to be the worst in the NFL. They always seem to find guys. Fenton was a 6th-round pick. Charvarius Ward was an undrafted free agent. And they seem like they were pretty good there. So we talked about it. They never spent more than $5 million and never spent higher than a 4th-round pick on any corner until Trent McDuffie got drafted. That was the highest investment they had made at all. $5 million or a 4th-round pick. And they were pretty decent at corner that entire time. So that just happens to be a position I believe in. But it's just, and yeah, you can always, but you always tell yourself you got better in the draft. That doesn't treat the monikers of an offseason are how aggressive you are in the draft. So if you trade up to 10 or 5, not trade it for McDuffie 5 spots, but trade up a big amount, right, for the quarterback or a big name wide receiver, or what you do in free agency. All the other teams around them were willing to put chips in the middle this year, right? We saw how much Buffalo had spent and the Bengals and several other teams in the AFC. The Chiefs decided to hold firm because they figure when those teams don't have as much money in a couple of years, we'll have all of it. And not all of it, but we'll have a lot more to work with. And we're going to just bank on we're the Chiefs, we're ahead of where you are, so we'll win that way this year. It's not the worst strategy. It actually kind of makes sense. But it relies on getting the draft right a lot to not take, you know, too big of a dip. And it's hard because with Mahomes and Reed, none of us think they're losing less than 10 games. Like, I mean...
Winning less than 10 games.
Winning.
The final word.
Yeah, so
seems impossible.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. We're going to let you kind of just relax for next 24 hours, less than that or so, 20 hours.
Bring up the gambling later.
Let you calm down and let's focus in on June 16th for the U.S. Open. No need to get crazy tonight.
Go home, hug your wife, kiss your kids.
I believe the funds have already been transferred to the show account.
They are.
Okay.
Transfer already in the way. So,
okay.
And those are secure, right?
Well, I did the free one, so it'll take like 3 days before they'll be able to access them. So that'll give me plenty of days to settle.
That might be a good buffer.
After Cody's pinata conversation, we're going to see in that account, there's going to be like a $14.99 charge to Party City for a pinata or something. We're going to really have to discuss this as well. We're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2 right here on Cody and Gold. The Drive with CDOT up next.
To Cody and Gold.
I'm not interested either. That's more just, I don't want to put a foot in my mouth.
610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.